Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community, many of you bringing binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. All you gotta do is look up in the tree. Who else seen the leprechaun say yeah?
Yeah! Yeah!
Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. Others just came to get lucky in hopes a pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm gonna run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold. Give me the gold. I want the gold.
This is Brian Johnson, NBC 15 News.
People will do anything for a pot of gold.
Now it's garbage.
Another movie night.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We are Just Another Movie Night, and I am Scott.
And I'm Joe.
And we are talking trash.
Talking trash.
Talking trash, indeed. This is our show to review, spoil, debate, crap on, and give second chances to the hated, the lowest rated, the much debated, and often forgotten flicks of the internet, all while asking the question, is this the worst movie ever made? And if it's not, what is? Because here on the show, we believe you can't truly review a movie without knowing what the worst is. And today, we are talking Leprechaun movies. Because we've been talking about Leprechaun movies all month. And we are now on part five?
Five in the hood.
Yep. Because you know there's nothing worse than a lep in the hood.
Lep in the hood.
Because he's doing no good. Wow, oh wow, wow. I mean, because like last week, okay, first off, this has been a roller coaster so far. Because the first week we watched Leprechaun in Vegas Part 3, and we had a blast.
Yeah, that was a hoot.
And then we were really excited to watch In Space, because we figured, how could this go wrong after what, you know, 5 was? I mean, Part 3 was in Vegas. And it was a disaster, and it really kind of bored us.
Yeah, that was a shame. I had high hopes for the space one.
Yeah, and you know what? Back on track, baby.
Back on track.
Because I don't know what the lep's talking about. He's doing all good.
In the hood.
Yeah, he's doing all good in the hood. Because this movie is a friggin' blast. This movie is just the right kind of shit that you just really want to laugh at and have a good time with. And it's got a checklist. Right?
It does.
It's got a checklist. It wants to not only bring back what was fun about the Leprechaun, but also check off every box of every cliche you've ever seen in these kind of movies.
Yes.
Right? I don't think this would be like the whole blaxploitation genre of filmmaking. I don't really think it is.
No, but they knew exactly what they were doing.
But they kind of were doing that new school blaxploitation, which I adore it.
I do too. It's on the nose and it's hysterical.
Yeah. I just really, really love that whole vibe of not giving a shit, going for it, and mocking yourself. Because this movie just goes out of its way to make jokes about every kind of aspect.
It really does.
Of those, you know, blaxploitation
films.
I mean,
they checked off everything.
and it is just going for it. This felt like, if you told me this was Scary Movie 5, I would believe it, you know?
Yes.
Because it feels like that.
It does. It does really feel like that. Especially like the way it was filmed. And I mean, it was very on the nose. Like, they knew exactly what they were going for, and they accomplished their goal, for sure. So.
Yes, absolutely. Now, this is from the director and writer of movies like Witchcraft, Call Girl, Sexual Predator, and The Kids Who Saved Last Summer.
What the hell?
I have no idea. We've got to check out that
We've not seen any of those.
Yeah, I know.
How is that possible?
I'm shocked. I was when I was looking into this. He's also directed on Criminal Minds. I don't know. He's got such an odd resume. His name is Rob Spera.
Okay.
Now, how much do you think this one cost? Because we've been on a really bad track record of trying to guess the budgets of these movies.
Okay, I can tell you that this one had to have no budget. It really had to have no budget.
I'm shocked about this too.
The filming, some of the scenes, they look like there was like fake walls put up.
Yes.
And paper mache things.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna say this film had a budget of maybe $500,000, if that.
Well.
If that. That's,
well, let me ask you this.
Generous.
More or less than Space, the last movie?
I feel like it had less of a budget than Space.
Do you think that because it's years later, that inflation is that much different?
No, but then again, they had to pay Ice-T, you know?
I was wondering about that, too. Okay, this actually had a $1.4 million budget, according to what I could find on the internet. Now, what I'm learning about doing this show is that I need to do better research, because I usually don't. I just like to watch the movie and give honest first thought opinions with a little bit of like jokes on the side that I can find on the internet. What I'm figuring out is that you can't trust those sources on the internet at all, because I think I've fallen for some jokes a few times.
What do you mean?
I'm pretty damn sure I've fallen for a couple jokes. Like, I think I made, during one of our episodes, I think I quoted a fact that I thought was a fact that I think was just a joke that someone put on the online.
Oh.
I couldn't find any information about it later, and I was thinking about it, and I was like, okay, that was gotta be a joke.
Well,
This one, again, has jokes in the trivia on IMDb. There's no way that they're real, because I can't find any facts about where that reference came from. So I don't believe any of the IMDb trivia on this thing.
I mean, I guess anyone can put a trivia factoid on there, right?
And it's kind of odd, because, you know, you can downvote it and usually get rid of it, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But this time I'm like, no way. These are fake, you know?
I didn't read any of the trivia.
It has to be. I feel like, looking at the budget for this movie, I was like, how? Where did this budget come from?
Well, here's the thing. I told you right off the bat that, first of all the locations that they did film, like, you know, pawn stores and like a makeshift church, it looked like just, you know, everything was made by plaster. The walls are plaster. It just did not seem like a real place, like a filming location. The only thing I did tell you was that when the three leads were walking down a back alley, I said to you, I'm like, that's where Ricky got shot in Boys in the Hood.
And I mean, it's not, because it looks like the back alley of wherever they're probably filming.
Well, they're supposed to be in Compton, but that's exactly, I was like, oh my God, that looks like the back alley where Ricky got shot. And that's, you know, it just did. I've seen Boys in the Hood 900 times, so I was like, I think it is. But that's the only time that I thought that there was a filming location, when they were in like any back alley, because I felt like everything was made out of just plaster and it was just crap.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know.
There was like a fact about it online, and I don't believe it's true, so I'm not even going to state it. And I keep saying a fact, but, you know, like trivia online.
Tidbit.
Yeah, and the tidbit, I'm like, I believe it. At the same time, I don't believe it, because I was watching the movie and I didn't see the same exact set a lot of the time. Now, I knew that they were in houses.
Yeah, one was an apartment. One was two actually were in an apartment. It was his grandma or whatever apartment, and then the transvestite's apartment, and then a back alley, and then a couple of pawn shops, and then the church. There's like only a couple locations, it seemed.
And there's like a club, and there's a couple places, and I was trying to stare at if it was the same place with changing set.
I was going to point that out to you. The club, I think, is the same location as the church, because they just moved everything out of the church. I told you the church looked like an office. It didn't even look like a church. It looked like it had a bulletin board. It was ridiculous.
It's someone's house, I think.
Yeah,
with no furniture in it, except on the walls you could see like bookshelves and stuff.
Yeah, it just looked like an office. It didn't look at all like a church. I mean, they put things around, like some fake, cheap looking crucifix in the background, and they had a podium with like a cheap crucifix on it.
Yeah, exactly.
But I mean, that's the extent of their set decorations. Yeah. I mean, it was very bad.
Really poor. Yeah. All right. So yeah, we're talking the Leprechaun in the Hood, and we're going to break it down. We're just going to talk out the plot because we have a lot. We have a problem where we struggle each movie to not talk to each other during it.
I can't help it.
And because I say save it for the show because we got to talk about this during the show because otherwise we're going to forget what we want to talk about later, you know? And we struggle sometimes because some movies have so many moments where you go, what is this? What just happened? And this movie is filled with that.
Well, and I can tell you my mouth was hanging open a lot.
Oh, yeah. You had no idea what we were walking into in this movie.
No clue. No, I mean, I kind of had like a hint of how it was going to be cliche. I had a feeling like it was going to be that, but not to this extent.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Oh, God. All right. So let's start off because this movie starts off fantastically.
It's amazing.
The first thing we actually have is a clip from the first movie.
Death to he who sets a leprechaun free. Steal his gold. It will corrupt your soul, you see. For many a moon, the legend has grown. Death toll increases. Solution unknown. Beware the evil wanderer. In search of his loot. Lest you suffer the rap of his golden flute. Flee while you can. The future's not good, for no one is safe from a lep in the hood.
And that's when we already know we're back to the leprechaun we love.
I was so happy.
The rhyming badass leprechaun who has so funny things to say all the time.
Because I love the rhyming in part three, and then in space they lost that whole thing.
Yeah.
It just went away, and then. Then he's back rhyming and everything, and his dialogue is so good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And it starts right off the bat with that, and we were excited, right? Okay, hopefully, because we smiled. But the first shot of the movie we get, besides the thing that's a flashback, is a wall blowing up in what seems to be, or someone knocking it down in what seems to be a subway? Or some kind of train station? Because
it looks like a sewer.
I have to talk about this because there is a constant train going by.
Okay.
It is a never-ending train.
I didn't hear
There's flashes of light through, and you hear the train car.
Oh, I wasn't even paying attention.
Through the entire thing. It made me laugh. I was like, where are they? This is definitely like in the sewer system.
Mm-hmm.
Or some kind of
underground.
A subway or something.
It was definitely underground, but like, I wasn't paying attention to that because I was too all invested in the freaking platform shoes that entered the scene.
Yeah. And the funniest thing is this is a flashback. The movie starts with another flashback, which I love that these movies don't give a shit about what continuity they're in whatsoever. They're not even trying.
No, this doesn't follow the last one at all. It just starts.
And what's funny is, I think in every movie, one of these movies, he blows up.
Yeah, so in space, he was ejected, he's blown out the goddamn airlock. Yeah,
which was 2096 or something like that.
Yeah.
And I said, well, it doesn't matter because it can explain how he got to space with these movies.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I thought, well, one, in, like, Back in the Hood, which is the next one, I was like, well, what if it would be funny if they set up why he's in space?
Yeah.
Like, just some kind of joke.
We'll have to see, because we haven't watched
it. It's not going to happen. Because I said, after watching part three, well, all they have to do is, in Vegas, they had, and, you know, L.A. isn't far from Vegas. You know, no. It's only an hour and a half by plane. Yeah, exactly. And so they could have set up where there was one shilling being flicked at the floor, mm-hmm. and they could have said it landed at someone's feet. And then that person was going back to L.A.
Yeah, yeah. That could be good.
You know?
Yeah.
And all they had to do was say, that person wished on it, it brought the leprechaun back. No. They don't want to think about it. They're like, get out of that.
Yeah, why?
Yeah, you know.
Too much work.
Too much work. And so let's just have him again frozen in a statue form with the necklace on it, like we have seen in the beginning of Vegas, mm-hmm. where he's in another statue form.
Mm-hmm.
And we never know why he would be in L.A. underground in a wall. But and also, if there is there's no subway, right? Is there a subway in L.A.?
No,
it's above ground stuff, right?
Yeah. Well, in San Francisco, they have the trolleys and stuff. I don't think they have that in L.A. They're in Compton.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know enough about the city, but I don't think so.
No.
And I was like, where are they? I have no clue. But we are introduced to our first two characters, and it is Ice-T playing the best named character of all time, which is Mac Daddy Onassis. He is a full pimp from what looks like the 60s.
He's got the huge afro.
Yeah, the 60s, 70s, where he's got the complete look. He's got the platform shoes.
He's got the plaid pants.
He's got everything. And he has got a partner with him who I know has a funny name too, but I can't even think of what it was now.
Slug. Oh, Slug. Okay.
He also is dressed in the same form.
Oh my god, they both have like the picks in their hair, and it's just fantastic.
So they knock off down the wall. They're looking for gold for some reason. They have had some kind of information given to them where they know that there's some kind of gold here. Now, I don't know why
it's
or who would have told them.
No.
But the first thing they do find is what looks like a meal that has been left by somebody, because it's an entire case of beer. Which is,
guess what it is?
Yeah, Cole 45, of course. And a chicken sandwich or something like that. And it's just like, oh my god. Like, all right, we're hitting those cliches, like, right out of the gate in this film. And there's no gold, so these two are, one's mad at the other. And he throws him, because he's joking, he's like, well, at least we got a chicken sandwich that looks like it's, brand new.
He's about to eat the chicken sandwich that's been sitting there.
Like, I don't even know if it's chicken sandwich. I think it might have been a burger.
Yeah, it might have been a burger.
You said, how old is it? I said, it looks kind of new.
Yeah, so who's down there drinking a case of Colt 45?
Yeah, who's... Is this some kind of worker that also gave him information? We don't know. But he gets mad at the guy for saying that, and Ice-T throws this dude, Slug, through a wall. Because, that's what buddies do.
Yeah, yeah.
So
just
Slug
throw
goes
my
flying.
Friends around.
And when he actually knocks down a wall, and then on the other side of the wall is the frozen leprechaun.
He's in his petrified state because he has the amulet around his neck.
Yeah.
And
which is actual information or lore, which is crazy to say lore in the leprechaun
lore,
film.
Yeah.
There is a lore, kind of.
Yeah.
And this movie goes on that lore a little bit, And, yeah, you're right. He's got the amulet around his neck, and that's what petrifies
that's
him.
That's what keeps him, under control. And so they see Ice-T and his companion see that there's a huge pot of gold and riches and all sorts of necklaces and whatever, but Ice-T doesn't care about the gold and the jewelry. He cares about the flute. There's a golden flute in
established in the lore.
In the pot, and he wants that flute. For some reason, Ice-T knows that it's very, powerful or something.
It is the smallest little flute you've ever seen.
I mean, he doesn't even care about anything else. Like, there's a lot of gold there. And there's an amulet, a gold amulet around this thing's neck. And he's not interested in that. He wants a flute. Which is, great, but, I mean, we never establish why he knows about the flute.
He acts like he knows about it.
Yeah, because he's like,
he says, this is all I wanted.
The only thing I wanted. Yeah.
And you would hope that they're going to tell us how he knew about this.
No.
This movie doesn't care about that at
why
all.
Why bother?
Because the other guy, while he's playing with the looking at the flute outside of the wall, the other guy starts going for the riches. He, of course, instead of taking a pot of gold, he has to remove the amulet because everybody's drawn to removing that amulet.
Yep.
So he removes it, and the leprechaun is loose, and he kills him in one of the... I'm like, there's no movie's ever done this yet.
Okay, but we didn't see it. We saw the aftermath.
He sees that he has the pick in his hair, and so the leprechaun steals the pick from his hair, and he stabs him in the throat with it. And I was like... They were just coming up with...
I don't like using this
word, but I'll say bangers. This movie's got some great moment ideas.
It was good.
Free at last! Free at
at last. Hells. Thank God Almighty. Free at last.
He goes after Ice-T for the flute because he wants his flute back. Now, in this one, he's not going to say me shilling. He's going to say me flute. He doesn't even say me flute. I wish he did, but he wants his flute. Ice-T is able to use steam from on the floor. He sees a switch, and he flips it to shoot steam in the Leprechaun's face, which makes him fall back perfectly on a... There's like a mouse trap built in this place, because for some reason there's a plank of wood that when he falls on it, it hits the necklace up in the air, and it flies down perfectly around his neck and freezes him again.
Yep. It was amazing. That was a really great scene. Yeah. So I was like, yep, it's going to go right around his big hat.
His big hat.
And it's going to fit perfectly
and
around.
He doesn't move.
Nope, he doesn't try to, you know, tuck and roll out of the way. He just lets it happen.
There's no magic being used.
Again.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
my
he's
God.
Frozen in a new way, which is funny because it looks like the exact same way, although he was like down on the floor.
Yeah, well, they had to reuse the same plaster statue because they didn't have a budget.
I wonder what happened to the one from three.
I don't know.
You would think that they would just keep recycling that, you know?
They probably destroyed that shit. They're probably like...
Probably. Someone stole it, probably.
We're never going to ever have another one of these movies.
You know, it's in someone's garden somewhere. I
oh
hope
God,
it's in Davis's.
I want that in our garden.
I hope it's in Davis's. Somewhere it's just like he's got a statue in his garden of the Leprechaun Frozen.
Oh my God, what if Warwick Davis does have it?
That would be amazing.
I mean, I want it for our front yard.
Oh, I wish I could have it too. All of our neighbors would just love us.
Our neighbors love us anyway.
Yeah,
we're
right.
Good at Halloween.
Sure. Yeah. So, okay. We flash forward now and we get to we're introduced to our main characters. Okay, and these are some great main characters, okay? We are introduced to a rap group.
Yeah.
I don't even know, a hip-hop band.
They're
a hip-hop trio.
They're a hip-hop trio.
There is Postmaster P.
P, because he spreads positive messages. But I'm sorry, no, excuse me. He delivers positive messages in his rap. So that's why he's called Postmaster.
Yes, and the character that's listening to him, they're trying to play music for a guy who's can hire the group, I guess. And this guy's like, what is this Postmaster P shit? And then he's like, what's P for positive messages? He's like, you ain't bringing no, you never went to, someone says something like, you never went to the army?
That's right. He's like, you weren't in no army.
Yeah, you know, Postmaster General. And he's like, it's P for positive messages. And I'm like, okay, I already like you. He's trying to bring positive messages to, he says, his community instead of this gangster rap.
Yeah.
Now, I don't think you realize who this guy is.
I really don't. Who
you
is
should.
He?
You should. This is Anthony Montgomery, who we've actually met because he is on
Star
Enterprise.
Trek! Oh my God, I
he
freaking,
is
oh my God.
Mayweather, the pilot of the Enterprise.
He's Travis Mayweather, holy shit. You know what, I knew that I was looking at somebody that was familiar to me, but I did not know he had that body under that uniform.
He is jacked, he looks really good in this movie. I mean, like,
oh my God.
And I'm really mad that we met him and I couldn't go and say him,
oh my God,
Postmaster P.
Well, it's because we hadn't seen this at that point.
I'm mad at myself
when
for not
we met
knowing
him,
about it.
Holy shit. Oh my God. We met him at a Star Trek convention in Las Vegas, and his signature is on our wall, and I did not recognize him until he just pointed it out.
Could have said, Postmaster P, you finally got to Vegas.
Oh my God.
Because that's his entire plot in this movie.
I missed an opportunity
to say that.
Do
you think anybody said it to him?
Oh my God, no, because those nerds would not have watched this movie. I don't think they would have.
And we gotta point this out because...
And I say nerd as a positive thing, by the way. I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
We're Star Trek fans.
You know, it's
so,
like in a debate if that's a positive thing or not.
It
everybody
is.
Says that geek is better and all that stuff. I don't know. Anyways.
I think geek is offensive.
Because it's just a broad term, nerd. Like, we like everything.
I mean,
like,
yeah, well,
a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we definitely have a lot of fandoms that we love. So, I mean, I'm proud to be a nerd.
Yeah.
I'm a nerd of a lot of things.
Is a geek one, you only like one thing? You're a geek for it?
I don't know.
I
feel like...
It's a weird thing.
I don't like the word geek.
But we have to talk about this because we on the show, we've mentioned before, every time we've had an occurrence, we've met people. We actually had a pretty positive, but negative experience while meeting the cast of Enterprise. They did not plan it right. Mm-hmm. And the event went on for too long. And there was too many people, and they weren't ready for it. But as I recall, and you might have to help me here, because it's been so long, Anthony Montgomery, who we're talking about here, came out and talked to everybody in the line.
Yes, he did.
Because he knew people were waiting. Mm-hmm. So he ran out and was like nice to everybody and like
meeting
people.
He was very kind. He knew that people were waiting for upwards of 3 hours.
People and he came out. It was insane because everything had gone so long.
Yeah, he was actually very generous. He was talking to every person in that line, giving hugs, selfies, all sorts of things. He was a really nice guy.
I think he wasn't the only one, too. There was somebody else, too, from the... I don't know if it was from that show or whatever, but they kept coming out to the audience, like, to the line of people waiting just to say hi to everybody. I feel like it was
Ethan Phillips, maybe Ethan Phillips who played Neelix. He came out, but you're right. It was a very, very long...
It went a little insane because there was also a... we had seen them talk, and which was crazy. This group of people make fun of each other.
Yeah.
And I think they were all drunk. And we were laughing about
this. I think
this.
Kate Mulgrew actually said that, you know, they went to the bar. Then they had some time off in between taking photos or whatever.
Oh, that's funny.
I think she did say that. I think they were at the bar.
I don't remember her being there.
She was there. Yeah.
Okay. Well, anyways, back on track. We are meeting our group, and the other members of the group are Stray Bullet and Butch.
Butch is the DJ, I guess?
Let's just say he's a science nerd who has never had sex, and that's all you need to know about Butch.
See, the mix of a dish and a jelly... is very, very, very combustible.
I mean, Butch, he's hysterical, isn't it?
They won't stop talking about how he's a virgin. The ongoing plot is about how he needs to get laid. So, we have Postmaster P, who wants to spread positive vibes through rap. And we have his partner, Stray Bullet, who's not on the same page because even his name suggests the opposite of what the band is.
Yeah, you know, he's kind of more, I would say, a street tough.
Yeah, he's trying really hard.
Yeah.
He's the one that tries really hard to be a gangster.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell, like, he's the... There's three very different
people. Yes, they clash. The three people here clash extremely, and I think that's why everybody hates their music.
Yeah, I think so, too. But there's the two of them, Stray Bullet and...
Butch.
And Butch.
See, the mix of a dish and a jelly.
I don't know how the two of them are friends.
It's like they grew up together and they're all trying to be whatever they're supposed to be. But they're also those cliches.
Yeah.
The three cliches matched up. You know, you have the one guy who wants to get out of the hood by being... you know, like a good guy and do positive things and the right thing. And then you got the one that's stuck there, but is extremely smart.
Yeah.
And then you got the other one that's like, I'm going to get up in the hood by being like the one that everybody else has to be, you know?
Right.
And you have like the three of these guys and it's just hitting those marks that they're trying to joke around.
They
about.
Really do. I mean, I thought that they were going to do the whole boys in the hood thing. Like when we saw them walking down the,
yeah.
Ricky's Alley. I'm going to call it Ricky's Alley.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Ricky. So, should have been Doughboy. Still should have been Doughboy. Whatever. But anyway, I thought that they were going to pull that where one of them gets hit. And that's, I don't know, I had a feeling that they were going to go that whole, spoof route a little bit. But I'm glad they didn't do that.
They didn't, while still kind of doing it regardless.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this got some checklist stuff going on. We already mentioned that. But, yeah, they're trying... their equipment explodes. Because Butch has used too much of the wrong chemicals.
The mix of a dish and a jelly is very, very, very combustible.
And there was a bad reaction and it blew up their speaker system or
Why
their
is
DJ
he using
equipment.
Chemicals?
I don't know enough about this to even, like, pretend to know or not know.
They don't tell you anything of why this happened. It just did.
He keeps mentioning that he used all these chemicals.
But why?
And I don't really know. I can't even begin to pretend that I know.
He doesn't. Well, it makes no sense.
They basically are told that they suck and they need to get out of there, but they need to get enough money because they're gonna hit the show in Vegas.
Yeah, I guess they're in the preliminary state where they have to go through this one dude, and he has to say, "Okay, you passed the test. It's like American Idol. Like you."
I thought they wanted a sponsor virtually.
No, I think that they had to perform for him, and he had to vouch. I think he was like, maybe he was part of the record company.
You know what it is? They're looking for a venue, because that guy owns the venue.
That's
in the movie that you know, they're hoping to play at, and hoping that that talent agent guy will come out and see them and tell them to go to Vegas.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. And the guy who owns hates it. He hated them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They told him to get the hell out. And they get out, of course. And we see them go around trying to sell a Jimi Hendrix guitar. At least that's what they're telling all of the pawn shops.
They're pawn shop hopping, and they're trying to get money. Because they have to fix their equipment that, for some reason, Butch decided to put chemicals in.
I don't even know.
It makes no sense, but whatever. Their equipment doesn't work. So they need to get money, so they're trying to like sell off some crap.
We get to meet two I guess are both pawn store people. I don't really know who they are. And it is run by a guy named Jackie D.
Jackie D.
And he is friggin' hilarious.
Yeah, he is.
He's ruling the dialogue. He's in a shitload of stuff.
Do we meet him first before we meet Mr. Chow?
Yes. Chow's the second runner-up.
Oh, God, Mr. Chow. They ADR'd him big time.
I don't think so.
I think they did.
I don't know about that. Well, Jackie D tells him to get the hell out because he knows that Jimmy... Because they tell everybody that we got this... My uncle played with Jimmy back in 71.
In 1971.
And then he's like, didn't Hendrix die in 70? And they're like... I don't know, man. And he's like, he played psychedelic. What was it?
Psychedelapooza or something. Palooza.
Psychedelapalooza. And he's like, really? Psychedelapalooza, huh? All right. And he's like, get the hell out of my store. I know you guys are ripping everybody off. So they leave and they go to this other store to sell the guitar to Chow. And who is the typical Asian character in all these movies. Right, like the one Asian guy who's like, you know, he wants to be down.
He wants to be like really hip, you know, with the youngsters.
He wants to be in a music video.
Yeah,
he wants to get all the bitches. Is what he's saying.
All the bitches. Can we please talk for 1 second? If there's any of you listening that have actually seen this movie, I need to know what is going on with the merchandise in this pawn store.
Yeah, he seems to sell like a convenience store.
It's like a convenience store. However, there's a jar full of some sort of appendage.
I think it's supposed to be that like Asian market, so everything is like, you know, perceived as gross.
Okay.
You know what I mean? But it's not. It's just like weird jarred things.
It's so weird that Butch is actually looking at it, and he goes to grab the jar, and Chow's like, "Don't touch that." And I'm looking at it. It looks like some kind of bear feet, like of a bear, like paws or something.
What I like is that's right next to Mrs. Dash. I couldn't help but see Mrs. Dash on the shelf next to it.
It's spices.
And I was like, and they had to turn them, but you can clearly tell it's Mrs. Dash.
What?
But like they had turned it so you can't see the front labels.
I'm like, what the fuck is in this jar? I want to know what's in this jar.
Also, couldn't help but catch that there was tables like it was a restaurant.
Yes.
I don't know what's happening in Chow's shop.
I don't understand what's going on in Chow's store at all. Like, there's so much to break down in the store. It looks like a convenience store, but it also looks like some kind of, like, medical facility where there's body parts in formaldehyde in jars.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening. I need an answer as to what is
it
in
just
that
might
jar.
Be that stereotype of Asian markets and like having weird things.
I'm baffled.
I don't know either.
Man, we going to Vegas. We about to win a contest, man.
You do rap video yet? You do video? Chow dance. Chow dance.
Nah, child. I don't think we're gonna be having you in our video, you know what I'm saying? But,
Oh. Child know many dances. Child do the funky peasant. Child get down hard with his bad self. Shake his nasty group thing. Ha! Child no fake the funk. Child keep it real.
But he also doesn't take their bullshit. He goes, everyone knows that Hendrix died in 70.
Yeah.
And he says, Jimmy. Everybody knows Jimmy died in 70.
Yeah.
So he kicks him out as well. And they go, they actually throw the guitar out, which made me laugh.
I know. What?
It's like, why would you throw a guitar out? Anyways, they throw it in a dumpster. And of course, because this movie doesn't have many locations or anywhere else to go, they walk upon a street that just so happens to be in front of the person that is the big record producer in town.
Mm-hmm.
Which happens to be Mac Daddy Onassis Ice-T. I'm going to say his name as much as I can because it's incredible. And they go, oh, there's Mac Daddy now. You know, there he is now. He's the big guy. Yeah, but he's, you know, he's sending out terrible vibes with all that gangster rap. You know, and he's like, I think it's the wrong thing. Well, he gets in, you can see him getting in his car. And now this is like flash forward from the opening where he was in the, you know,
it was clearly the 70s when he, in the opening of the movie, he was wearing that, you know, the ridiculous outfit with the leather jacket, yeah. The pimp jacket. And
I forgot to point out, when he got the flute, he said, here I am on my way to Motown. And I was like, you know, Motown, big, big flute people.
Barry Gordy only hires people that can play the flute.
Oh, that's definitely true. Pan flute. Let's get some pan flute up in this shit.
Oh,
man.
My God.
Yeah.
Headed to Motown.
Heading
with a
to
flute.
Motown with a flute. It's like they need to establish that he knows that it's magical. I mean, even if it's magical,
it at all.
Didn't you hope that somewhere in this movie we're going to see Ice-T playing the flute and dancing like a leprechaun?
Oh my God, I was hoping.
Yeah, I was kind of hoping for it the whole time.
For that so
I was like,
bad.
What is this going to be? And I hope it's a dance when they're playing it.
I was
hoping, but yeah, we see he's got like guards. He looks exactly the same. But you said he hasn't aged a day, and I said, yeah, in real life, Ice-T hasn't aged a day.
I know,
he's always looked like this.
And in this film, he looked just like he did in New Jack City when he was in the scene where he was playing like, you know, like a pimp, like a drug dealer.
Yeah.
And he was trying to get into Nino's secret society and all that. And he was wearing that coat and the hat and all that. He looked exactly like that in this movie. And he still never aged a minute.
He's never aged.
No, never.
He still looks great.
He's an android, and so is LL Cool J, I'm telling you.
Oh, LL Cool J is way worse.
They're like bathing in the waters of Lake Minnetonka, because I don't understand what's happening with these two
Maybe
men.
They all have the pan flute in real life. Maybe they all got the flute.
It's crazy. Another one is like, they took Barbara Crampton with them.
Oh, yeah, we just saw a movie with Barbara Crampton. She hasn't aged at all.
Yeah, she
Elizabeth
better
Hurley.
Than,
yeah.
Yeah, she looked better than Heather Graham, who's younger.
Yes.
I was like, holy crap, man. Anyway, we're getting off topic.
Yeah, we're all way off topic now.
Like Minnetonka.
he sees them. And when he's driving up the way where they're standing, he actually stops and says, he calls them Milli Vanilli wannabes.
I didn't even catch that.
Yeah, and then he's like, what are you doing out here? And have you gotten any better? And the one, which is Straight Bullet, he's like, yeah, we gotten better. We're going to make it. We're going big. We got a new record. We got a whole bunch of stuff going on. And he says, get in the car. I'll give you a minute. Which is so funny because you think in the car they're going to play his like cassette. Mm-hmm. But we just cut to his office. So he drove them. Now, it looked like he just left his office, and they're going somewhere else, but I don't know if they're on their way to their office. I have no idea.
There's no
they're
establishment
just automatically in the office.
Yep.
And we see that he took home the leprechaun statue. And I would love to see Ice-T carrying the leprechaun statue through the streets.
In his platform shoes?
In his platform shoes.
With the gold,
which he has in his office, he still has the gold of the leprechaun, and he has the whole statue in a glass case,
mm-hmm.
in the middle of his room. People must come in and go, what is that gaudy ass thing in the middle of the room?
Oh, yeah. It's, I mean, It's pretty tacky. It's huge too. I mean, for a statue, like, it's, yeah.
Well, he's listening to their new cassette, I guess. And it actually has some positive message in it, in the song. And he, of course, says no. He says, you guys have gotten better. There's definitely something here, but not this shit. And he breaks his cassette, and he tells him,
we all about killing hoes, yeah, and dealing drugs in here.
He's like, you got to get some serious, you got to make some changes. And he's like, well, what kind of changes? He's like, you know, machine gun death and shit like that.
And stabbing your homies in the face.
He's like, you got to shoot your homies. And they're like, well, we're trying to spread positive messages and give a better tone to the community. And he's like, hell no, we're not about that.
We're not about that shit. Get out of my office.
So Stray Bullet's kind of like, I'm on board. And he's like, you know what? I gave you enough time to think it over. You didn't say yes in time. Get the hell out of my office.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, or I'll slap your mama in the mouth again. Something crazy like I usually do. Like, he calls his mom like a hoe or something.
Yeah.
It is, and he's pissed at Straight Bullet. And rightfully so, I was thinking.
Hell yeah. I mean, he insults his mother for what reasoning?
Pretty crazy.
Terrible.
And they're kicked out. And that, of course, leads them into wanting to get revenge. And Straight Bullet has come up with an idea that he should rob them. They should go and rob Ice-T and steal his money. And because he's out, the best time is when he's out of the office, where they could just go break in and steal. Postmaster P, he ain't down for that. He is not down for that until he is. And then he says, okay, I'm with you guys now. And you got that whole thing where they're like, I got a gun, and we're strapped, or the whole thing. And how, the one that's the funniest to me is Butch. Like, why would Butch go along with it at all? He doesn't seem like a guy at all.
Especially, I mean, neither one of them, Postmaster P either, because his whole thing is, like, spreading positivity.
I just love that he keeps saying Postmaster P with a straight face.
I just can't. Obviously, I'm not with a straight face. I'm cracking up over here.
And here's our favorite bit. They go rob Mac Daddy Onassis' house. Now, first off,
stop trying to say it with a straight face, Scott.
Mac Daddy Onassis. Now, we're just going to point this out. He got the magical flute and is supposed to be the big in the big times.
Yeah.
He's still in the hood with a shack.
Yes.
Like, he's living in a nothing. He doesn't seem like he has any power.
Right.
People are, like, scared of him, but not really.
He only has one goon.
One goon. And three guys that are not even pros are able to break into his place with no problem.
No problem. There's no surveillance. Yeah. Now, he's rich, we're to assume.
Assuming.
Okay. Because, you know, the flute has given him, I don't know, I mean, power? How? Okay. They don't establish that. It just happens. And they just break into his office.
With no problem.
No problem.
They're able to steal everything. But, of course, Butch has to blow open the glass and get the leprechaun's necklace.
Of course he has to take the necklace. Of course. But not before they take all the coins and the jewelry and the gun that he had in his desk.
And also, one of your pet peeves, the flute.
The flute.
Is there. Which is your pet peeve of, why would the guy leave the thing behind that is the most important thing to him?
No, actually he didn't. It was on him.
Oh, you're right. He was on him. Okay, so
that's the only thing he cares about.
They did one thing right in continuity that he wouldn't have let that flute go.
He would never have left that flute behind. He left all the other shit behind, but he would never leave that flute. So he walked in on them robbing the shit out of his office,
yeah,
and they shot him.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's Postmaster P shoots Mac Daddy Onassis.
But it was an accident, Scott. He only spreads positivity.
He
doesn't want to hurt anyone.
Except when he's spreading bullets. He shoots Mac Daddy Onassis in the chest, right? And that's when the flute falls out. And he, you know, he feels really bad for shooting in person. But it not enough to not steal his flute.
Oh, he steals a flute because the flute is in his hand. It's like on a little necklace, like a little bracelet, I guess, it goes around his wrist. So he keeps it there. And it was around his wrist and he took it. Surprisingly, surprisingly, Butch takes the fucking amulet.
Of course.
Like, why would you take it? First of all, someone just got shot. Like, I would be running for my life out of there.
Yeah.
And
they see the leprechaun. Now, Postmaster P, isn't shocked that he has killed somebody.
Yeah.
But once I see the leprechaun, he unloads the gun with no concern.
No concern at all.
Into the leprechaun. And they run away with all the jewels.
With all the loot.
The flute and the amulet.
Yep.
And that leaves a completely blown apart leprechaun to come back together. And we find out that Mac Daddy Onassis is also not dead because he has taken one of the shillings and made a necklace that perfectly blocked the bullet.
Mm-hmm. It was quite the miracle of science. So he's alive and he notices that his flute is gone, but not before he sees that the leprechaun is coming together again.
Yeah. And the leprechaun is able to, like, attack him. But he's able to get away and go to his club.
Yeah, so he's all disheveled. He's all fucked up. You know, he's like just winded. And he goes to his club where his goon is, right? Isn't his goon there?
No, it's not his goon.
Why is his goon not ever with him?
I don't know. And this is... I have a whole thing to point out at the end of this movie. I think there's something that was cut. The editing in this movie is next level weird. It mm-hmm. is bizarre. Well... he goes to the club and he runs to the bathroom to smoke some chronic.
Okay. That's what you need. Need chronic. Easy, bro. Need to relax. Cool out. Smoke a joint. Yeah.
I love this club. It is... the tackiest floor, and it's like all red and white. I know that they were filming somewhere else, but I don't know where the hell this is being filmed at. This has got to be a back room somewhere, and this is like just an old abandoned toilet in a hotel or something.
It could have been like an old like TV set in like Universal Studios or something.
It could be,
because it doesn't seem like any of these rooms are real rooms. It just seems like they're walls that were just redressed. You know?
It could be old sets from old things, yeah.
It was so weird. So he makes his way into the bathroom so he can smoke a joint. And oh my god, the leprechaun is standing on the sink.
Yes. He's standing right there next to him, watching him smoke. And this doesn't freak out Mac Daddy Onassis at all.
No, because, you know, he's from the streets and he's seen more crazy shit than this.
And the leprechaun's not going to kill him at the moment because he's interested... and what he's smoking.
Curious aroma. Interesting blend.
Interesting bullshit. That's the bomb right there.
The bomb?
Yeah, and he says, so I guess Mac Daddy looks over at him, hands him the joint, and our leprechaun friend says, a friend with weed is a friend indeed.
That's right.
I almost lost my mind.
Yeah, he tells him that this shit is the bomb.
It's the bomb.
And he's like, the bomb. And he's like, he smokes and he says, it is the bomb.
Ah, the bomb. A friend with weed is a friend indeed.
And I guess Ice-T leaves the club. No,
he actually grabs his hand and rips his trigger finger off.
That's right.
And he tells him that you will find the people who stole my gold. And if you don't, you'll die. I think he says something like, you will find my shillings, or there'll be some killings.
And, I love it.
I don't. Love it. This is the first time we've seen the leprechaun employ help.
It's amazing.
And it's actually kind of intelligent. Like, why wouldn't he employ help? Because he can have minions do the things for him in all these movies.
Yes.
But he never does because he's extremely selfish. And that's one of his like things. But he's so interested in weed that he's like, you know what? I'm going to give you a second chance. Go find my shillings. Well, go find my gold. Go find my flute.
Yeah. He wants his flute back. He wants the flute and Ice-T wants the flute.
So Mac Daddy Onassis runs out of the club to go find it. And he passes by the bartender. And we can see that there's like the back room here is like a stage.
Mm-hmm.
And the bartender, he says to the guy, get that fucker, right? And the bartender's like, what's going on? And he sees the leprechaun coming out of the bathroom. And he's like...
He says, "God damn, you little ugly motherfucker."
Yeah, he does. I don't even remember what the leprechaun says back.
I was dying.
He goes, and the leprechaun just like pushes him, like force pushes him against the instruments. And he's like, "I'm going to wrap this fucking metal around your head." And he grabs the mic stand.
Yeah, it's a mic stand.
And he goes to swing it at him, but the leprechaun grabs it, and it's able to create some kind of electric current into him.
As we know, the leprechaun can do this.
Yes, sure, why not?
I mean,
and
why not?
It electrocutes this guy and kills him. And you would think there's people in this club,
right,
that are going to see what's happening, and there's going to be something else.
Yeah, like they're going to be running and screaming for their lives and stuff.
Nope, just cut out. It's done.
He was the only person in the room at the time, I guess.
Yeah.
In the club? All right.
Yeah. Okay. So Postmaster P and the boys are selling the stolen gold. He says, "Where'd you get this?" And he's like, they're like, "Don't worry about it, you know, all that." And he's like trying to strike up a deal. They're trying to buy used pawn shop stuff for their new instrument so they can go play this Vegas thing. And he's giving them some grief, but while he's doing that, Postmaster P plays the flute for the first time, and it enchants everybody to stare at him, like just watch him.
Yeah.
And he doesn't really understand that that's what's happening yet, but we see the first time of the flute's power.
Yeah, but what really is the power? I was a little confused.
It enchants people. It just makes people interested, like a siren song kind of makes people just like fall for what's ever being done.
Yeah, but you don't need to sing anything, right? You just play it and then they just get entranced.
Yes, they're kind of like in love whatever you're doing.
Okay.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's me trying to make some kind of sense out of what's happening in this movie.
So why would the leprechaun need that? He has power without it. I mean, I'm asking a valid question, Scott.
A friend with weed is a friend indeed, Joe. That's all you need to know.
Oh, my God.
Well, yeah, so they get their new instrument stuff. And this leads... They also go and, for some reason, go see Chow.
Yeah, I don't know why.
And Chow is like really into wanting to be in their music video, and he's doing some funky dancing. And he tells him he could do all the whack shit. And while he's doing that, he plays the flute again and sees that it's enchanting them as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he's starting to learn that something's up with the flute.
Right.
But at the same time, the leprechaun, now, you think that Mac Daddy Onassis is going to find people for them? But he isn't. You know, so the leprechaun just, for some odd reason, knows that the shillings were given to Jackie D. I don't know why. So this is one of the craziest odd sequences ever, which also makes me think that this movie was originally intended for TV, because Jackie D is in an alleyway with a samurai sword for no complete reason whatsoever in his back alley, and the leprechaun comes up and he goes, "Yeah, I'm not buying any Halloween costumes today." And the leprechaun's like, "I want my my gold." And he's like, "Boy, you better get the hell out of here. I don't know what the hell you're up to." And the leprechaun goes now, and he laughs. And for some reason, we cut to black, like it's going to be on TV.
Yeah.
Like it's a commercial break.
Yeah, that's true. That did happen.
It does.
I was going to be like, okay, wait, did something just happen? Was that like a bad edit?
Yeah, and talk about bad edits, right? Now, so what we get next is all of a sudden we see a woman standing in the street. And we scroll up her whole body and she turns to see a headlights put on her in the middle of the street at night. And it's Jackie D's driving. And Jackie D gets out of his car and he says,
"Jackie C?
Jackie D, come here, my big, strong man.
Baby, you look beautiful."
"It's been too long, Jackie. It's been too long.
But I don't understand."
"You don't have to, don't. I just want you to love me, baby."
Yeah,
it's me, Jackie D. And then she comes over and she's like, "Huh, my sweetie." And they go and they start kissing.
"My sweetie."
And Jackie D says at least 8 times, Oh my girl. He says something over and over and over. It's so bad. He's like feeling over the body. They're making out.
He just keeps saying, "I miss you. I miss you.
Yeah. And then she turns around and we see that her face is starting to turn into the leprechaun's face. And then
I do not understand the scene.
She turns back. She starts kissing him. And he's like, oh no. And then we scroll away, like to the bottom of the car as you hear him like getting killed maybe. But what all of a sudden we get a shot of as we hear him dying is a leprechaun in a black room.
It was so weird. I asked you, I'm like, wait, is he in the trunk?
Yeah, we didn't understand. I was like, is he like riding, driving her like a robot? Are we inside of her now? Like,
I didn't understand.
What I know, this is some next level terrible editing. What this actually is later on in the movie, he is put into a safe.
Yeah.
And the exact same shot is this shot.
Yes.
So what they did was they took a clip of that part of him being in the safe and they trimmed it in here without telling us what the hell was happening.
It was baffling. I was like, wait a minute. I don't understand. Yeah. I don't understand what's going on with this woman. He could have just killed Jackie D in the alley.
Yeah, why how he even knew Jackie C was something he read his mind.
The leprechaun's powers are like, they're mind-boggling because they keep changing and they keep coming out of left field and we're just like, okay, that's a thing that he can do?
Yeah.
Because I don't understand this.
And also, it's like, no gore, which is upsetting.
No gore.
Because that's what you kind of come for. You're coming for the leprechaun to be funny.
Mm-hmm.
And you're coming for the kills of these people. And we don't get one here. We never see Jackie D ever again. That is the end of it. We don't get anything of his body being found. Nothing.
Nothing.
Instead, what we get is that Mac Daddy Onassis has found our boys on top.
His whole name.
Mac Daddy Onassis is on top of the roof. And he has found them at a party where Postmaster P seems to be in, like, staring at a girl dancing. Like, this is something that we're supposed to know, but maybe there was some kind of plot where he liked a girl.
Well,
but we never got anything with that. Yeah.
No.
But he chases them because he wants his flute.
Flute.
And he has them at gunpoint, and he forgot that he doesn't have a trigger finger. So he can't shoot his gun. And it allows them to jump off the building and escape. And now the whole thing that happens next is that they go in hiding with different random people. So the first person is one of the best characters ever. I'm forgetting her name.
Miss Fontaine. But it's a man, and so...
Well, she is a woman. She classifies as a woman. She's hoping to get her sex changed, and she's a woman of the night.
I mean...
She is funny as all hell. And... This is another cliche in these movies that it's like it borders on like homophobia in these black exploitation movies. It's and also in kind of embracing it. It is so weird. And what happens later on in the movie even nails that down more. So we're gonna get to that.
Oh my
but
God.
They are hanging out with her, and he wants them to play their music in the backyard. And now the back of Miss Fontaine's place is like so nice.
It's like a whole rooftop, like
bar looking area, like patio, benches,
like sanctuary.
It's nice. it doesn't match the movie at all. It's so weird.
No.
Well, they play their music, and the neighbor is like, "Shut up, you guys suck," you know. So he plays his flute, and it makes all of the neighbors come out and listen to them. And he realizes here that his flute is extremely powerful. And it makes people want to like them and listen to him. And that's how we know that Mac Daddy Onassis has also used this to get famous.
Right. Exactly.
Although he's still living in the same place. He's never moved. There's no...
No. I mean, he's not living in a palace or a mansion or anything like that. It's literally an office.
Yeah. He's just living in a shithole in the middle of the hood.
Supposed to be Compton.
Yeah, he doesn't even have... He doesn't even have, like... any goons or squad or rappers or anything.
One dude.
Now, again, this is odd because the leprechaun finds them. I think they're trying to establish. Oh, and also when he plays his flute, there's another shot again with bad editing. We see a couple shots. The first time we just see a shot of a leprechaun hearing the flute and knows that someone's playing he can sense that it's being played. The second time, he is surrounded by women.
Yeah.
Laying around him, and he's like sitting at a bar smoking a joint, and he senses the leprechaun flute being played. Now, I was like, what is happening here? Who are these women? They all have gold dresses on and sunglasses. Now, this is a bad edit, because something was definitely trimmed out after he killed the guy with the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
There's an entire sequence that was cut here that this would have attached to, but they did not do it properly. And it comes back in the end. They actually edited out a part and then put it at the end of the movie. It does not work in order whatsoever. Mm-mm. And it's very jarringly noticing.
Yeah.
So he senses that the flute's being played. Now, for some odd reason, he is just at Miss Fontaine's house.
How does he know?
Yeah, I don't know if it's because that the flute's being played. I don't know. Everybody says that they would never look for them at Miss Fontaine's. That's why they're hanging out there.
Right. So they go to all these locations to try and hide out from Mac Daddy Onassis.
And the leprechaun.
And the from leprechaun.
Two people they're trying to hide from.
Nobody would ever look for them. So they went to Miss Fontaine's loft and other places. But, like, he somehow knows when... Like, they're at the pawn shops. He knows that they were there. He knows they're at Miss Fontaine's. I don't understand how he knows where they are at all times.
I don't either. How? It doesn't make any sense. Well, unfortunately for us, and unfortunately for everybody in the world, Miss Fontaine is killed. In what looks like a sex romp, she actually tries to have sex with the leprechaun.
Come find your way out, baby, or are you just didn't want to leave?
I didn't come to play with fruit. I only seek me magic flute.
Well, that's such a musical way of putting it. You're just the right size, too, for Miss Fontaine. Now, I hope you ain't a screamer, because, you know, I got me some company. So get your ass up in there. Don't make a beef. Come on now.
When she sees him, she goes, oh, you're just the right size.
Miss Fontaine does not discriminate.
Does not.
She is all in for this.
And the leprechaun goes along with it pretty well. Her death moans are very interesting.
They're convincing.
They're more like sexual. It's very strange. The boys actually open the door and they see that somebody is what looks like they're banging Miss Fontaine. And it is the leprechaun just strangling her. But really funny is that she has blood all over her with no actual wounds.
Yeah, that's, you know... Yes. I was going to say, this goes along with the whole editing, cutting system.
And this is where I was like, oh man, this one thing this movie's doing wrong is no gore. No good gore.
No gore, no.
It gets back to it in a little while. It takes a very long time for actual gore to happen in this movie. The finger doesn't count, and also the throat pick.
No, that doesn't count either.
It's kind of, it's really, really cheesy, and you can tell it's fake. You know what I mean?
Oh, like, yeah,
it's
just so tell.
Yeah. But Miss Fontaine's dead, so it makes them run off and go hide at a new location, which is the preacher. Because we have to check off this list, and we have to now have your overboard preacher character, who is always wiping sweat.
Always
wiping sweat. That is a ridiculous joke. And they know it here because they're going for it 100%. And he's also a pervert. And he also wants money.
Yes.
So it's all the checklist.
All the cliche checklist.
He's really happy that they're there because he can get them to rap. They need a band. It just so happens they need someone to sing for a service that morning.
Yes. And so they're musically inclined is what he told them. So you're musically inclined. You need to do something. That's the only way I'll keep you...
And 50 bucks.
Safe harbor is if you give you 50 bucks and you sing here. So they put the robes on like the choir.
But their shirt's still out.
And they're actually trying to sing.
Well, the one
but he's rapping and singing at the same time.
Well,
but
Postmaster is singing.
Postmaster is singing, but it's all about hoes.
Well, no, he's singing a religious thing, but then Stray Bullet is like trying to interject with rhymes. So he every time he says, do you know Jesus, you know, whatever. And then he's like,
Jesus loves me, this I know.
Yeah.
Because he gives me a nice hoe.
No, it wasn't that, but it was close. Jesus loves me, don't you know? And he says, if he doesn't, I'll go get a hoe.
Jesus loves me, this I know. If he don't, I find a hoe. His mama's name was Mary Jo. His disciples were some bad mofo. Little ones going out to the crowd.
love me? I don't know. Jesus love me. The hell if I know. If Jesus love me, then it's my day. We better pray, or he'll make us pay.
And then the whole audience is like, by the way, this preacher's house, it's virtually in a house. They just took away the furniture and made chairs. And you can see his bookshelves. He's actually got a microwave and like a kitchen area right behind the podium.
It looks like an office.
It's really fun to watch the backgrounds in this movie.
There's paper mache crucifixes. It's terrible.
Well, everybody wants to leave, and he starts playing the flute again and gets everybody back, and they have an entire concert. And this is where Coolio and Badass, two rappers, walk in. Both have passed away. Both are not with us anymore, unfortunately. But Coolio and another rapper named Badass come in, and they come in, and they're just watching, and they're into it as well. And they're like, oh, shit, Coolio. Right? And you think this is going to be something?
No.
Nope. In the next shot, they're just sitting there and they never mention Coolio ever again.
He's on screen for a millisecond.
Yeah, they're just into the music.
They show the two of them for a millisecond, and then that's the end of that. You never see Coolio and Badass again, ever. I was like, oh my God, Coolio!
But they're like, it's the flute. The flute is the power, and we're going to play it, and this is how we're going to get Vegas, and this is what we're going to do.
I got so excited in that scene. I was like, oh my God, Coolio's going to be joining the group, and he's going to team up with, Ice-T or something like that. No. Mm-mm. We didn't get that.
Yeah.
That was disappointing.
Yeah. well, of course, Matt Doty Onassis and his bodyguard show up. They found him. For some reason, they found them. And and by the way, the leprechaun randomly also kills Mr. Chow.
Yes, and he stuffs his body parts and some formaldehyde in jars.
In jars next to the Mrs. Dash. And that's it.
The mystery feet
right next to all of that.
I'm like, what is that?
And it was like no blood again. It was just also had a fade out like a commercial break as well.
Yeah. How do you put this on regular TV? I don't understand.
Well, that's what I was wondering, if this was intended for that, but then they also shot another version that was for video.
Did you find anything about that on
No, I can't find any information out. Like, everything is very questionable. There was, like, a funny, like, IMDb trivia about how they had to stop production on the movie because Davis was farting so much.
What?
I know. I have some kind of flatulence. And I was like, okay, this is a joke. But I don't know why, and I couldn't find any information of where this came from, this joke.
We can't even get any, like, real information on IMDb anymore, because that doesn't sound right. No, because, like,
you can put your own in there, and people have to judge it or whatever, but I don't trust it, so I didn't want to bring it up.
They stopped production because the leprechaun was farty?
Farting too much. And they said there was a blackout or something, too, but I don't know if that's true. I don't know if any of that's true. Anyways, going back. But everybody, Mac Daddy's there, he's found them, and he's coming for them. And they catch up in the hallway, and he tells his bodyguard to shoot them. But he says, the leprechaun is behind you. And he's like, yeah, right, I'm not going to fall for that. And the leprechaun oddly saves Postmaster P, because he shoots with his finger. He makes like a blast through the bodyguard. This is our first gore. Because the bodyguard's chest explodes, and it allows Ice-T to look through the hole.
Yeah, that was cool. Yeah. That was cool. I was happy. I was like, oh, okay, we got a little bit here.
Yeah, and Mac Daddy Onassis runs away.
Every time you say it, I laugh.
I know, it's funny. I'd say it all the time. Leprechaun comes for them. He doesn't go after Mac Daddy Onassis. He lets him out. He lets him leave.
So can we talk about this?
Because he wants his flute.
This is like the third time that he's let Mac Daddy leave.
Yeah.
Like, why are you letting
him leave? I'm sorry, who's this Mac Daddy character?
Mac Daddy Onassis.
Oh, thank you. I wasn't sure. Okay. Yes, he leaves him alone a lot.
Wait, there was a reason that he calls himself that. His name is not really Onassis. He's not Greek.
It's Jackie Onassis. It's like a joke.
No, I thought they were saying that it's because he snatches asses. Or something. Asses or something like that, because he's a pimp.
Oh, that's right. They're talking about that before. I forgot that. When they saw him, like, oh, Mac Daniel, why they call him that? And he's like, because he gets all the ass or something like that.
Yeah.
All the asses.
Only asses or something like that.
Who knows? Anyway.
It was a stupid explanation for calling yourself Onassis, but it was funny.
Well, they're able to run in the room with the preacher. in his room, and for some reason the leprechaun pets the door for a little bit. That was a weird moment. I thought that was going to be something, like he was doing a magic spell.
Yeah.
He just is rubbing his hand all over it, making a noise. He wheels over a safe, and their idea is to let him run in like a Looney Tunes character through the doorway, and he'll go into the safe and they can shut him in. And it works.
It works.
They actually lock him in a safe. And that's the shot I was talking about where you see him inside the safe, which is like a dark room, like a black room that he's sitting in. And there's only like a light on his face. And that's the same shot from earlier in the movie where Jackie D gets killed.
Well, a safe wouldn't have a light coming through.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Yeah, they do it just to make sure you can see that he's in that room and in that locked area.
But he has magic powers. You're telling me
yes.
This is going to hold him. Okay, because he can come together after being blown up. So,
well, they say that they're going to pay him to hold the leprechaun in the safe for them. No problem with the dead body upstairs.
There's a guy with a hole in his chest upstairs.
No problem there. They're not going to do anything about that.
Just leave him. He's fine. He's all right.
He's all right. And they are going to go do the show. And they go do it. And he is there alone. Now, the leprechaun uses his first time he uses an ability. This is the first time we've ever seen this power. He is able to control women. It turns out that he's got...
Fly girls.
That's or what he calls them. I thought he called them zombies or something like that.
No, he said my fly girl zombies.
Okay, my fly girl zombies. Now, that shot that I was talking about earlier where there was girls randomly in sunglasses and golden dresses, that's who these people are. Now, there are women from the club that he has taken over. They have sunglasses on because they have green eyes because they're under his control. Mm-hmm. He summons them to come up to the preacher. And the preacher automatically just wants to rape this girl.
Yeah.
Instantly.
He's so rapey.
Into it, yeah.
So rapey.
But now, magically, the leprechaun is loose.
Yeah. Well,
no explanation here whatsoever.
We're just to assume that one of his zombie fly girls let him out of that safe.
Somehow got upstairs, unlocked it, somehow knew the code.
He has incredible power. Why would he be ever, stuck in a safe?
Yeah,
like,
if it's this easy...
He could blow a hole through someone's chest. He can't blow up the safe.
Yeah, what if they put him
out?
In the safe and then threw him at the bottom of the ocean? Him in the ocean. Like, could he just be stuck there forever?
Right. I mean...
Or would he have to get his fly scuba divers? His zombie scuba divers.
In their gold dresses.
And the leprechaun punches a hole through the preacher and kills him. He's got his hand through his chest or whatever.
Yeah, that was fun.
So what we have cut out here is that how and when he possessed these girls.
They don't show us.
It doesn't show us. They just automatically has fly girls.
So much in this movie just happens.
Yeah, it just happens.
Where we don't get any, like foreshadowing or, anything. Like, it just
they don't give a shit about establishing any of this.
Yeah, and they
and
just...
you know what? It is so much fun that you're going to hardly care.
I didn't care.
We're nitpicking because we can see this stuff. Because we love watching movies and we love picking apart what's going on in movies, what makes it good, what makes it bad. And that is the flaw here.
There's a lot of bad editing in this. Terrible editing.
The movie is a mess in editing. I don't know what they were thinking. And people always don't know what good editing is versus bad editing.
Yeah.
You watch this movie and you go, oh, I see they took scenes from other shots and they did this and then they did this. Yeah.
Upon watching it, you can definitely tell.
Something we didn't point out in our last movie because Joe couldn't get over the dialogue in that movie.
I was very
something
sad.
We missed in that. There's a couple things that I'm mad we didn't talk about. But one of them is in the end of the movie, the leprechaun gets shot into space and he blows up. But what I didn't get to talk about is that it's the reuse shot of him exploding from earlier in that movie. And you can, if you look at the end shot of him exploding in space, you can actually see the space set from when he blew up before in the movie. In space, you can see the the lines of it. That's atrocious, editing. Yeah, and it's so, that's bad editing if you don't know what it is. And this movie is doing that too. There's a lot of that. Just where did this come from? When did that happen? How did that happen? Oh, it's in different sequences. They just cut it out and used it somewhere else instead. There must have been something where they couldn't film a part and they were like, well, we'll make it make sense in editing.
Yeah, but they didn't. And there was a lot of moments like that where I had a baffled face on because I was like, wait, hold on. Wait, what is this?
Yeah. They must have had something happen where they lost time and they had to come back and they didn't have scenes, so they had to fill them in. They only had a certain amount of time. He's now loose from the safe. Mm-hmm. And the gang or guys, they go play the show. And they use the flute and they enchant the whole thing and it becomes a huge concert. And they're doing great and they go backstage and they're so psyched up. And of course, the record guy comes in. The guy that's the scout, he comes in the room. Now, this guy's hilarious. This is like this white dude in a tight, like he's in a complete suit jacket with a bowler hat and he's wearing a mink.
Of course. And he's wearing like a gold chain and he just looks like, you know, the cliche record executive, yeah. You know, because they all walk around with a zoot suit and a fur coat on and a fedora.
I kept thinking about the... Well, what movie is it? I don't know if it's Half Baked or if it was another movie, but they kept going, it's the man.
Oh.
They go back. He goes, you guys were great and you're made it to Vegas. Now, all you have to do is meet me at LAX tomorrow.
I love how you call it LAX.
Oh, LAX.
Yeah.
I know. I just say LAX. I'm sorry.
But I just like how you make up words sometimes.
I almost spit my water all over the place. All right, you meet me at LAX. I thought he said LAX. Nope, I don't know why. You meet me at LAX, and we're going to go to Vegas and do the show. And they're like, yeah, we did it. And he leaves, and then all the flag girls come in. And they're like, whoa, women. And
they thought there were groupies because they're like in really tight gold dresses and looking all fly.
Yeah. You know what, though? How does that happen? Oh, yeah, no, the leprechaun comes in,
mm-hmm.
and he comes in and he makes him point a gun. He makes a, because Straight Bullet takes a gun out to point at him, and he says, give me my flute, and then he makes Straight Bullet put the gun to Butch's head, and he's like, give me the flute, or you'll, he's like, oh, I can't remember, this is like the worst rhyme, because he actually doesn't rhyme here. He says, or else I'll paint the walls in your friend's brains. And I was like, damn, they could have rhymed this. They could have made that better.
Well, this is just another thing. It's like, okay, you have to stop thinking too much about the movie because he uses his powers at the strangest moments. Like, he could just literally just spontaneously combust these three guys and take the flute out of his pocket. But he doesn't. He doesn't kill anyone when he can kill anyone.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like, you have all these powers, like, you don't use the powers right. It's crazy. So Stray Bullet's pointing the gun at Butch, but for some reason, you know, I guess they say, all right, you know, give him the freaking flute. I'm gonna die. I don't want to die. So he gives him the flute, right? Doesn't he give him the flute at that moment?
He gives him the flute, but then he, for some reason, attacks him from behind, and he turns around and freezes him.
That's right.
And then he makes Stray Bullet shoot himself. And he does.
I was like, holy shit. I was like, I can't believe Stray Bullet's out.
Yeah, Stray Bullet is like, dead. And for some odd reason, the next shot of it is of him dead in a car.
Well, they and put him in a car.
Postmaster Pete takes his gun. Murder weapon. I don't even know why.
So that was really strange because he shot himself. Yeah. So his fingerprints would be on that gun. We're thinking too much CSI here.
Oh, I know.
It's just a movie. But,
it was actually the preacher's gun, too, which everybody apparently knows about. So he has the gun. The murder weapon is attached to the person that everybody knows. That guy's also dead.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. Now, Postmaster P, they basically go separate ways, Butch and him. Now, what we forgot to talk about was that another cliche in these movies is that he lives with his grandma. And his grandma is a blind woman.
Of course.
Of course. And she's the trash talking the grandma. She mm-hmm. cooks for everybody and makes it with spicy food, spicy hot sauce, and everybody eats it. But he goes back home to her, and we get a scene for no reason where the leprechaun just shows up in her house.
Yeah.
And we were like, what?
And again, how does he know where?
He already has the flute. He let Postmaster P live for some odd reason. He never does that.
No.
And he went to the grandma's house. He doesn't even know her. And he has no reason to go after Postmaster P anymore.
Because he has the flute.
So we get an entire scene where the blind grandma tries to feed the leprechaun. And she's sticking food in the air. And he's missing missing his mouth. And he finally eats it. The last time that she tries to give it to him, she stabs out his eyeball with a fork. And Postmaster P jumps up out of a dream.
It was a dream.
And then there's a knock at the door, and there's another jump scare with the leprechaun, and he wakes out of the dream for a second time.
But why do we even need
this? I don't know.
I guess so he can have his revelation that they need to take the leprechaun out.
I don't think so.
I mean, that's the moment he has the revelation, and he goes to Butch, and he's like, hey.
No, Butch actually knocks on the door right after this.
Or Butch, yeah, he comes to the house.
And another odd thing is Butch is wearing... He's wearing this weird headpiece, like sunglasses with the lights on them for no reason.
Like what the scientists wear when yes. they're trying to like.
Like when you're working on something in front of you, like a watch or something, you have the light on your eyes that you can see.
And I was like, why is he wearing it? There's no explanation on it.
He wears it from now on too. It's really strange. Yeah,
there's no explanation. I was like, wait, why do we need this? What is going on? Like they're going to do something or say something about why? Yeah, no, nothing. No.
And he tells him, I'm here. Because I know you're going to go for the flute. And he goes, how did you know? And he goes, I just figured you would. And you're not going to do it alone. I have a plan. And he goes, you do. I don't know how we're supposed to get near the leprechaun. And he goes, well, it turns out that the leprechaun is bringing hose up to his apartment. Every day he's bringing hose up, but they disappear. They never come back out. And he goes, I think they're fucking them to death.
The leprechaun got a goddamn room upstairs. He got them zombie hoes hypnotizing people, taking them up to him every night. Word? What for? I think he's fucking them to death.
What the hell is this twist, right? We even see a scene of him getting women to bring women to him.
Yes, he does. Where are they going?
It's so odd. And if you think there's anything odd going on in this movie, this next bit is the most odd thing I've ever seen, because Butch has a plan, and that plan can only be one thing.
See, the mix of a dish and a jelly is very, very combustible.
Well, if he's getting bitches up in his apartment, we gotta dress like women.
Why?
And so we get Postmaster P and Butch an entire montage of dressing like women.
Oh my God, and I'm talking like those moments in the movies where like the woman puts the stockings on and she's like running her hands up her leg,
yes,
in a sultry manner, that kind of shit.
This is like Wong Fu, like that movie Wong Fu. This is really odd.
Oh my God, it yeah. is like that. And these two, first of all, the yes. facial hair and all that, whatever, that's happening.
And Postmaster P is jacked. He is so ripped that he looks so off-putting in this dress.
He does. It's ridiculous.
It's like Bugs Bunny when he was dressing like a woman. It is very odd.
Or if like The Rock was wearing an evening gown. I mean, it'd be ridiculous. But yeah, it's ridiculous.
That's their plan. And the funny thing is, they go to the bar, and he gives. And now it turns out that he has found a book for dummies on leprechauns.
Leprechauns for dummies.
And he says that it's four-leaf clovers. If you get a leprechaun to ingest a four-leaf clover, you can take away his power for a little bit and beat him. So he has rolled it into a joint, and he somehow has found a four-leaf clover and rolled it into a joint. He brings the joint to the bar and gives it to the fly girls, which automatically wakes them out of their trance by them saying, the lep in the hood up to no good. And they all break out of their trance from smoking this joint, and he releases them. Now remember, he dressed in drag just to give these girls a joint.
Why?
So they can wake out of their trance, and now everybody's gone. Nobody's here. So they get up in an elevator and go up to where the leprechaun is, where he's sleeping. In drag. And by the way, Butch is still wearing the light thing on his head, even in drag.
Yes. And you know what's funny about this whole situation is they could have just did what Ice-T did and you know, said, hey, let's smoke together, you know, or let's let bygones be bygones. You got the flute, whatever, whatever. And let's smoke together. And they could have just done that. They did not have to dress in drag at all.
Yeah. And so the leprechaun makes Postmaster P get on his lap as a woman. And then he tries to get him to give him a hand job.
Can I please say the quote?
Sure.
Okay. So these two walk in their dresses. And the leprechaun looks at them. And he says, Come closer, my fresh young lass. Let me take a look at you before I tap that ass.
Awesome. I clap. I said, this is the moment where I was clapping and going, I knew they were going to get there. I didn't know how they were going to say it, but I knew he was going to say something like this.
Best line in the movie.
So he gets him to smoke the joint, and he passes out from the clover, and they are able to steal the leprechaun's flute. Now, you think that now that they have this opportunity, they can kill him?
Yeah.
Because he is just going to come back for them again.
Yes, but you have to understand that it's... Ice-T that has the amulet.
Yeah, but they could have done anything. I like how you said amulet. You went, amulet.
Amulet.
It's like Schitt's Creek. He's going to come back for them. So why do this? Why not stop him? Why not put him in another safe? Why not drop him off the thing? Because he doesn't have flag girls anymore.
That's true.
He has no slaves to take over. How would he escape, right? Anything. They could have came up with, they have no plan.
No.
So they just leave the elevator, they go back downstairs to the club, and when they get out of the doors, they're shot at. And by Mac Daddy Onassis. He's back. They kick their asses. And it turns out he did shoot and kill Butch.
I was upset.
Butch dies, and he says, not in drag.
Not in drag.
And he does.
But he's also a virgin.
Yeah, that's
right. He never say nothing about that.
He actually does. He says, the offensive way of saying it, do they have women in heaven? That's what he asked for.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah, he said it more offensively, but I'm not going to say it. He is killed. Now, all Postmaster P has to do is play the flute from behind the bar to stop Mac Daddy Onassis, but he doesn't do it. He just stands up. With guns to guns. And now Mac Daddy Onassis is an idiot too. He puts his gun down and basically is like, I have the only thing that can beat the leprechaun.
Well,
you need me.
That's what I said. I'm so like, I was like, why don't you just shoot him now? And take the amulet.
Yeah. And that's exactly what he does. He shoots Mac Daddy Onassis a ton of times to take the amulet, but the leprechaun is coming down right behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So now the leprechaun, they have a fight. Right? And he. All now, what's crazy is he's about to kill Postmaster P, but behind him, Mac Daddy Onassis gets back up with a chair, and he's like, "I'm not dying tonight," and he hits him with the chair. And I was like, "All you had to do was put the amulet on him."
Yeah, that's it. Why would you hit him? It's
so he turns around and blows up Ice-T. Mac Daddy Onassis is no more.
Just like he did his goon, like he made him explode.
He made him explode. We see, though, as he gets blown up, the amulet goes flying in the air, perfectly open to land on the leprechaun's head again. The leprechaun is looking up, and it looks like it lands on him. And then we cut to Postmaster P being introduced in the club, coming out of the smoke, and they're saying, here for a special occasion, Postmaster P. And then he's rapping. And he comes out, and he does a whole rap, and he takes off his sunglasses, and he is... possessed from the leprechaun. And then we see the leprechaun smoking a joint, and he says, I taught him everything he knows. And then this is where it fades to black, and it comes right back to give us the breathtaking moment that should have won the Academy Award for Best Song this year, the leprechaun rap.
Which is amazing.
The Lep in the Hood, Up to No Good, where he actually we get to see during the credits how he turns all the women into the fly girls.
Mm-hmm.
I come from the land of the Irish Spring. Dublin's the place where I learned my thing. From the Emerald Isle to your place in the hood, I'm the man of green, come to do no good. Lep in the hood, come to do no good. Lep in the hood, come to do no good. Blunt is dope, this place is hype. There's a lassie, she's just my type. I hate to resort so soon to money. Haven't been late so long, it's happy. I'm so bad, I'm good. I'll show you what to do, so lend an ear. Don't worry, little lassie, you've got nothing to fear. Sit with the lad who's lean and green, and let me show you why I'm a love machine.
So this is the scene they cut out from earlier in the film.
It should have been in the middle of the film.
It was supposed to be. You can tell this is right after he kills the guy with the microphone.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is that same club. And this has nowhere in the shot is Postmaster P or the stage he was playing in. That was a different location altogether.
Yeah, it was. It was completely
so
different.
So this is, they just said, well, that's so good, let's leave it later. But it doesn't make sense. If anything, they could have just played it again during the credits.
Right. What would be so bad about that?
Yeah.
And like, we forgot to mention one of my other favorite quotes in the movie, when Postmaster P is, like, sitting on the floor because he was knocked down. the leprechaun asks, you know, says to him, "Hey, give me my flute." And the quote is, "I'll take it from you, homie. You'll see. Because you know the lep is the real OG."
That's awesome. He knows so much. By the way, he was frozen in, we don't know how long he's been frozen, but he references knowing things that have happened.
I mean, at least from the 70s.
Yeah, and it's like he knows everything. I don't know if he's like sentient when he's frozen. Like, can he see everything that's happened around?
No.
Because he references a bunch of shit that he wouldn't have known about.
I mean, that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, he made a couple of rhymes where I was like, how would he know that's a thing?
I'm talking about ridiculousness. I know. Really?
Well, this is also the first time I can think of where the villain, he won.
He did.
The leprechaun wins in
100%
this film.
100% did.
Which makes me really excited to know what Back to the Hood is.
I can't wait.
Yeah, the Trimark Studio Productions or whatever, it folded after this. So it basically ended, and I don't know if the leprechaun rights were up in the air. So I don't know who produces the next movie, which is actually Davis's last film in the franchise.
Okay.
Which is 6.
Okay.
Now, we can talk about that next week, but yeah, that ends the movie, and the leprechaun won. So I don't know if the next movie is going to act like that happened or it didn't happen. Is it going to reboot
again?
Well,
you know they never do continuations.
Yeah,
so it's just going to start anew, I guess. But yeah. And we don't have Mac Daddy Onassis.
I know, we don't have... We can't even say his name. What am I going to do?
Somebody else. Yeah. Like someone like equally as good.
It has to, I hope. I'm not going to look into it.
I'm not going to look into it either.
So, okay. Now, is this the worst movie ever made?
No.
Absolutely not. But what do we give it score-wise out of 10?
Oh, my God. This movie was a hoot. I don't care. Yeah. It was terrible.
This is the movie you want.
Yeah, this is so bad it's good. This is like...
This is perfect so bad it's good.
Because, you know, we know we've reached this level now where these are not horror films. They're not. They're comedies.
Yeah. And I think a lot of people don't get that. Like, that why people like the Freddy movies, why people like the Jason movies. Because at one point in time, they start becoming like kind of like comedy horror.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. And that's why I'm giving this a 4, because it is on the so bad it's good level. But it's also bad. Editing was terrible.
That's fascinating, because you say 4, and I want to know, is this better than 3?
No, because I gave that a 5.
And you don't think this one's better?
No, not really.
I would watch this one again in a heartbeat. In a heartbeat. I'm considering
this. I would watch both of them again in a heartbeat.
I would too, but I think this one might be the most fun.
This movie was fun, but there's a lot of things that I can't get past. Like, there's a lot of questions here and a lot of editing issues.
Oh, there's a lot of problems. There was a lot of problems with the acting in 3.
I mean, but it's still, in 3, at least they didn't have these editing problems. I mean, there was no moments in part 3 where I was like, wait, what scene is this? Like, where are they? What's going on? In this one, I did have a lot of those moments. Okay. Too many.
All right. I just want to love this one a little bit more than I should. I'm probably going to go with you on a 4 as well.
Okay.
But man, is it close to being my favorite Leprechaun film. I'm like, this one's a blast. But yeah, you're right. It is cheap. It's got editing issues. It has definitely continuity problems. Like, I mean, who cares about that though at the end of the day? But if we're being honest, it does have those problems.
There are problems. Okay, so are we agreeing on the 4?
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with you on that.
While you're bringing up your list, I'll do my segment of why we can't have nice things, where I give you 2 extremes of online reviews. This is why, you know, people can't review movies right. I mean, it's why we can't have nice things. Everybody who knows the show knows why we can't have nice things. But it's 2 extremes. Either, you know, it's a 1 or a 10. It's not always like that. So, anyway, all right. 2 extremes here. And I'm going to give you the 10 first, because it's a 10 out of 10. It's one of the only reviews that's a 10 that is not for comedy and, you know, whatever. This is titled Amazing. This movie was easily one of the funniest movies of the year. Whoever sees this movie to get a horror movie or some sort of cinematic masterpiece should look elsewhere. I don't want to spoil this movie, but I will list a few of the key ingredients. Iced tea in an afro wig, mind-controlled bimbos, a 3-foot-tall dude in a green suit smoking weed, need I say more? Now, okay, you're giving this a 10. You call it amazing.
Yeah, of course.
But you did say, you know, if you're expecting a cinematic masterpiece, you should look elsewhere. Well, a 10 is a cinematic masterpiece. So I don't think you understand your review here. I'm just saying. All right, and then the one is, obviously, it says worst movie ever. So,
wow.
My friends and I rented this movie thinking it might be fun to laugh at a bad movie. But this movie is so bad, it's not even laughable.
Oh, wow.
It's plain and simple the worst movie ever. Bad acting, bad directing, bad writing, bad everything. I'm ashamed to say I saw it, and I think I'll spend the rest of my life purging it from my memory.
Oh, boy.
Okay, that's first ridiculous. Of all, you forget what the filmmakers are going for here. And it's, yes, it's a bad movie, but it knows that it's not Citizen Kane here. I mean, it's not a good movie. They know that they're doing schlock and they're doing, you know, comedy. This is not supposed to be an Oscar-worthy movie here. You know?
I can't believe that they can't find enjoyment in this movie. A bunch of people getting together laughing. This one's hilarious.
I mean, what kind of friends do you have that you're sitting around watching something this ridiculous and you can't even giggle?
Yeah,
wild. It's mind-boggling. I mean, you guys don't know how to crack a smile. There's a lot of fun in this movie. There's a lot of, you know, I guess people have different sense of humor, and I understand that, and I respect that. But there's some scenes in this movie where you're just like, come on, that's a giggle. His rhyming is a giggle. It's funny.
I wouldn't say there's probably not a moment in this movie that isn't kind of laughable.
Right, but even like if you can't find any moments, there's got to be one. Like especially when he says, "I'm gonna tap that ass." Like
yeah, exactly.
It's just funny, you know. Yeah. Like come on, just relax yourself, have a drink, and laugh a little bit. Don't take everything so seriously. This movie is not taking itself seriously. They know what they're doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, since we both admit that this isn't the worst movie ever made, and we always ask what is on our list, this is our 27th movie we're adding to our list of trying to rank these movies that we've done. And we started that only 27 movies ago. So I'm just going to jump right to it and guess we both agree that this movie is better than Madam Web.
Oh, my God. This movie is better than Madam Web.
So is this better or worse than The Exorcist Believer?
Oh my God.
This is worse than Exorcist Believer,
it's
though.
It's worse than Exorcist Believer.
So we're going to slap this on number 18 right between Madam Web and Exorcist Believer.
Oh my God.
Never did they think this movie would ever land on that kind of a list.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Oh my God! What have we become?
I know.
What
really?
Have we become? We should put ourselves on the movie ranking misfits.
There you go. Yeah. So this was a great one. I don't think next week will even add up to this one. There's no way. But also, there should be no way to fail. But I think they will. I'm not hyped because we got two good ones so far and one bad one.
Well, let me tell you though, if they keep up with this, you know how he's rhyming
if
and
he
the
rhymes
schluckiness,
and he's smoking joints and he's joking around about rap and
I'm in.
I'm fine. You know, Davis. I read an interview with him and he was asked about this movie and he said that this is the one that probably nailed it and he said this probably was the most fun. Of all of them, he said he was extremely nervous to do the rap in the movie and that he actually had to ask his co-stars, hey, what do I do? I have no idea.
Aww.
And he says they kind of helped me out, but I just got out there and did it. And he's like, still to this day, people have come up to me and done the rap. He's like, it blows my mind because I can't remember the damn words. So
he's so cute.
He says I had a blast doing this one. So that's
See,
awesome.
He had a good time.
Yeah.
He's a national treasure.
He is. He really is. All right. So, yeah, till next week. And we'll see. We're going back to the hood next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. So thanks for listening, everybody. You can hit us up on social media on Instagram at Just Another Movie Night and Joe at The Crafty Misfit. She's making some nice stuff. Go check it out. And she even has leprechaun ones.
Earrings. I do. I have leprechaun earrings. And this is so, our Warwick Davis actually drinking a pint. And that's
too bad
my
it's not
earrings.
Smoking a joint.
And it's, yeah, that's what it is. Too so, bad, yeah, smoking a joint.
So thanks for everybody. And hit us up if you disagree with us or think this is like the worst one. I would love to know why, because this is a blast.
Or if you want to go back and pause that scene in Mr. Chow's pawn shop where there's bare feet in a jar, because I need to know what
tell us what the hell is going on in there. Yeah, thanks for listening, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
For a fool of mine, you've done quite well. Now I'll take me flute and send you to hell.
If this is to be post last stand, you'll have to take this flute from me cold, dead hand.
I'll take it from you, homie. You'll see. Cause you know the lep is the real OG.
Mac Daddy ain't dying today.